Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell, and we are here the day after the WWE Backlash pay-per-view. My old buddy Paul Allen from a fantasy football league, after the Vikings lose on his radio show in the morning, he calls it the therapeutic Davenport of love. I think that would be an appropriate approach to take with this show coming out of Backlash. Maybe some of you guys enjoyed this more than I did. The feedback has been very negative for the Backlash event on Sunday night. I will be discussing that in detail with Matt Kuhn, who is filling in for Will Pruitt. Will actually checked in. He is in China. I did not send him there on assignment. He would have been late for the Colt Cabana and Nick Aldis match. He is actually there for his real job. And he will be returning here, I don't know exactly when, but hopefully the next time we are on the air together for ProWrestling.net Live. Well, it would be kind of awkward if he wasn't there and we were somehow together on the air. I don't know. That made sense. I'm out of practice with this live stuff, folks, if you can't tell. But we are here the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events, and the next time we will get together will be the day after the WWE Money in the Bank, I think, because I just kind of remember this before I went on the air. I think WWE is doing their UK championship tournament that same day. And so I have to check the time on that and find out when all of that is scheduled to start and how that works. And hopefully it's not going to create any major issues. But if it does, I'll certainly let you guys know. But that is the plan, is to go live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events here at pwaudio.net. Before I bring Matt into the show, I do want to tell you about the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast, which I host. It is available usually Wednesdays at pwboom.com. It still seems weird for me to say .com, being the ProWrestling.net guy. But last week's guest was Sean Daivari, fresh off of his appearance in the Greatest Royal Rumble. We've also had the NWA's Dave Lagana, MLW's Court Bauer, and Ring of Honor's Joe Koff, just to name a few. This week's guest, hopefully everything goes well because he's got kind of a busy schedule. I'm probably jinxing myself by telling you guys this, but it is scheduled to be WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. And again, you can look for the new show on Wednesdays. And if you already subscribe to this feed, know that the Boom Podcast has its own feed, and you can pretty much find it everywhere you get your podcasts, Downcast, Stitcher, the list goes on and on, iTunes, of course, and you can go right to pwboom.com for more details on the Pro Wrestling Boom Podcast with Jason Powell. All right, I said we would bring Matt Kuhn into the show. For those who don't know Matt, I think most of you do. He is the guy who started to rise to fame via the Something to Wrestle With podcast, Bruce Pritchard, and he is now doing a number of his own podcasts. He did a lot of music for that show, and now he hosts, let's see, he does the Survivor NSFW, which is the show he does with Johnny Fairplay on Survivor, so if you're a Survivor fan, that show is available. And he also does Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel. He is doing the Robbie E. podcast, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I had this list handy, and I told you I'm out of practice, but it is, basically, it's about where things all went wrong, and I can't remember that damn name. But I'll get Matt on it. He'll be happy to tell you about it. And I'm trying to think there's one other. I'm trying to remember these all off the top of my head here because my little handy list is nowhere to be found right now. You know what? Let's just bring Matt on, and he can tell you about it. He has joined me on the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast, and now he is making his first appearance on the live show. Matt Kuhn, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jason. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be filling in for Will today.
It would be more of an honor if I could remember the name of your damn podcast. You have so many of them, Matt, I can't keep up. So help me out.
Well,
the Robbie E. podcast. Let's start with that one.
Well, I'm surprised you can't remember that one because that one actually has changed wrestling history a little bit. It's called Why It Ended. And recently, Mark Capani, Muhammad Hassan has given us credit, me and Robbie and our podcast credit, for him wanting to get back in the ring again. And then the other one I do with Johnny is called The Botch Along, which is a fun watch-along show. We pick shows on the network. We curse a lot. It's a lot of fun.
In fact, I talked to Johnny today, and as we were talking, I said, hey, look at this. WWE has a list up saying Sunday Night Heat is now on the network. And his initial response was, hey, that's this week's Botch Along. So I don't know if you know that yet, Matt, but be prepared for some heat.
Yeah, it's there's plenty of botchy stuff to go around, and especially with Heat, because Heat was an interesting show that started out with the best of intentions and slowly but surely went the ways a lot of the third shows go.
Yeah, they always seem to start. I remember Matt Hardy and Undertaker headlining, I think it was the first, was it Main Event or Main Event? It must have been Main Event. And it was on WGN America. I don't think it was Superstars. They all kind of run together after a while. And just wondering, well, how long is this going to last? And I don't know that they ever had a bigger Main Event than that initial show. So that just tends to be the way things go with WWE and those, I guess, C shows. Is that I think that's the best way to describe them. Before we get too far in, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to learn more about you and learn more about these podcasts?
Well, definitely, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Coon Music. I do music. I do voiceovers. If you like the Pritchard Show song, the Shivani Show song, and, of course, the brand new 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff intro, I did all of those. So if you need something for your podcast or voiceover, original music, anything like that, you can reach me at Matt Coon Music or at mattcoon.com.
And, Matt, did I see you're offering Elias some Skype lessons?
Yeah, I decided I've had enough. I think I can help Elias. So every week on Twitter, I'm going to give him a little hint to become a better player. I teach music for a living, so it's not a rib on Elias. I think Elias is great, but I don't think he has a full-time guitar teacher. So I'm just going to step in, and if he wants to watch, that's cool. And if not, it's kind of a fun little watch on Twitter.
Hey, the number to join us today, if you want to talk Backlash or anything else pro wrestling related, is 773-897-6321. And that will bring you on to the queue. However, in order to let us know that you want to actually join us on the show, you have to hit the number one on your phone. That otherwise you're going to be, we'll just assume you're in listen-only mode, as I see a few of you are already. But if you want to actually talk to us on the show, remember to hit the number one. It's 773-897-6321. We'll be going to your calls in just a minute. But, Matt, I've already kind of made it clear that I wasn't a big fan of WWE Backlash. People can check out my hit list. I think I was actually about as friendly as I could be just by reaching to find a couple of hits on the show. One of them I just said wasn't even really a hit. It was just kind of in the middle, the Hardy and Orton match. Am I being too hard on this pay-per-view?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's the worst pay-per-view of all time, as a lot of people say. It was tough for a lot of people, you know, to watch, but I think it has a lot to do with our expectations. And I think people were entertained by the show. I was entertained by the show. So I don't think it was an F show or a D show, but I can also understand why with the Jason Powell hit list, which I've been reading for years, I'm almost laughing that you gave that one a hit, because on other pay-per-views, that Orton Hardy match would have gotten nowhere near a hit.
I think I was being generous just because it had a clean finish and I wasn't expecting that, because yeah, it wasn't a very good, it just was kind of there. I didn't really feel like it was completely miss-worthy either. And I was probably maybe kind to Styles and Nakamura. I thought that was their best effort in a WWE ring thus far. I just hated the finish.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is how could you screw up? I mean, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be IWC guy. But how can you screw up AJ Styles, Nakamura, the feud? Like, here's how you screw it up. And that finish was terrible. We'll probably get into it for a lot of reasons it was bad. But overall, that's, I guess, the word for AJ and Nakamura's disappointment. But I think that's the third time they've wrestled for a large audience on a huge pay-per-view in 39 days. So maybe they're just trying to, you know, run it out a little bit.
Do you think the next match stipulation will be both men must wear an athletic cup?
I think that's, I think they were wearing them today. I'm just, or last night, I'm guessing, but you know, it seems to be headed in the, you know, last man standing direction, but that doesn't make any sense either. I mean, the whole thing, if you want to get into it just a little bit on that match, if you have a situation where people are getting DQ'd and the heel is not even getting DQ'd, I think he just is taking cheap shots, then you have a no DQ match, and then you pick now out of the entire history of wrestling to enforce the 10 count, the standing 10 count, which I was telling my son, I don't think I've seen that enforced more than five times in my wrestling watching history of 30 plus years. It really was, I don't want to say bad booking because I'm just a fan, but it's not the kind of booking I'd like to see.
Yeah, and they did set it up like a minute or two before when Tom Phillips told us that, hey, they have to answer the referee's count. And I didn't think too much of it at that time. I guess obviously in retrospect I should have, but I'm just like, okay, so they're counting, whatever. I never thought in a million years the match would end like that, in a no DQ match. There was another match recently that ended with a referee's 10 count, and I don't mind that finish because you see it so many times and it never leads to anything. But it was just different circumstances, and I wish I could remember which match it was, but it wasn't, I think it was just, probably an undercard thing. It wasn't for a major championship, and it wasn't a no DQ match. So it's not that you can't have a match end like that. It was just the circumstances that really irritated me. But I have a feeling that the callers are going to want to chat about this show, and we'll certainly be answering some email questions that people have sent in with this time slot. It can make it difficult for some people to call in live. So we've had a couple of .NET members already email in some questions that we'll get to, and so we'll be going through this show. And again, if you want to talk about things other than WWE Backlash, I can't blame you. You got the Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, or the World show coming up this week as well. So always plenty going on, WWE or otherwise, and you can join us at 773-897-6321. Just remember to hit 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to join the show. You're not just in listen-only mode. We'll start today with 270. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Tyler England from Glasgow, Kentucky. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. Good to hear from you. I've been working on the pronunciation of your town, and I think I've made some improvements in Q&A.
Yes, you have, and thank you very much for that. The question that I was going, if you don't care, Bobby Lashley, what are they doing with him? Because, I mean, obviously whenever he came back, it looked like they were going to make him, kind of a bigger deal, and then now he just kind of comes out there, and, you know, he works a babyface match, and, you know, he leaves, so.
Yeah, there's no character development there. Matt, I think they showed us maybe a video package, and that was about it. But we don't know why he's there, what he wants to do. I mean, it's just he's smiling Bobby Lashley right now, and it's not very compelling.
Has the character development ever happened in his history of the WWE? I know when he was in TNA, he made a lot of improvements. But to me, this is just the same Bobby Lashley, the same one facial expression. No reason to care about him other than he's just this giant, jacked-up dude.
Yeah, and it's too bad because, you know, for years, that's probably the only way you really could position that character. He just didn't have a lot going on other than the physique. He looked lost when it was time to cut a promo. He just, you know, you could just see the deer in the headlights look on his face when it was time to open his mouth. And it even took, I think, a second run in Impact Wrestling. I remember when, you know, they announced that he was coming back, that the Dixie Carter had re-signed him. I was like, oh, boy, big deal. And something clicked. This guy all of a sudden became this really strong heel. But he's a much better heel than he is a babyface. And he was okay in Impact as a babyface. But I really get the idea that, you know, Vince just made, you know, I'm sure he gets word that, hey, so-and-so's doing well, or, you know, if somebody's a free agent, they had a good run here. Maybe they didn't have a great run with us last time, but they've gone on and they've improved. I don't think he's taken the time to go back and watch any of that stuff to see what's working and what's not. And so, yeah, what you get is smiling Bobby Lashley, and it's we're not off to a good start with it at all. I'm disappointed. I want to see him turn heel, but I don't know that turning him heel on Braun Strowman is the right answer either, because Braun, it just kind of dwarfs him in height, which isn't the end of the world, but it almost seems like, okay, you're turning Bobby Lashley to guarantee he loses a feud. And I think there's a lot more upside there with him. I know I was on last night with the member exclusive audio review. Jake Barnett and I talked about the show for over an hour, and Jake just thinks he's on the wrong brand. He should be a heel on SmackDown. And I had a hard time disagreeing with that. He's a little similar as a heel to what they do with Samoa Joe. But I just don't know that he really fits necessarily on the Raw side, but I know he's not a babyface, at least not the way they're positioning him anyway. It's not going to work. But did you have more for us?
No, man, that'll be all. Thank you very much.
And great to hear from you. Go ahead.
Well, Jason, to answer his question a little bit about what we think they're doing with him, they're going to turn him heel. He's going to feud with Braun Strowman, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. We'll find out. But I think that's the only direction they're going in because Raw needs heels. Raw has no heels at all other than Sammy and Kevin. And it appears to me that's the only possible direction they can go in. So I think Bobby turns heel probably by SummerSlam. You'll see Strowman and Lashley. I think that's my best guess. Is that where you have it as well?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to make a move. You know, Jake and I joked about doing a trade with Lashley, and I don't even remember who we were moving over from the SmackDown side. It made sense to us, but it was like, they're not going to do this. So, yeah, probably the way they're going with it. There's something about that feud. I guess we'll find out. Do you think Lashley can hold up Braun Strowman with that vertical suplex? That would be pretty damn impressive if he could pull that off.
Well, he couldn't hold up Cass, so I'm going to doubt that he could hold up Strowman, although Strowman might be stronger. I think you need a stronger person, and I believe that Cass is actually taller, which may make him more awkward to suplex, but I just don't see, you know, I think the problem is Braun, because as you see with these giants is that they have a short shelf life to be that giant freakish person, you know, and we'll see how long he can continue that momentum. But right now it looks like they're going to throw Lashley at him, and hopefully sooner rather than later, because Lashley is just struggling in that babyface role.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Cass. That's the guy we said, you know, get him off of SmackDown, get him over on the land of giants, and trade Lashley for Cass straight up. Again, I don't think they're going to do it, but we can fantasy book once in a while. It's okay. 773-897-6321 is your number to call today. Again, I am Jason Powell, and he is Matt Kuhn, and we are live on ProWrestling.net Live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events, typically at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. But again, that may change for the next one just because of, I think, the UK Championship Tournament takes place that Monday and Tuesday, so we got to kind of wait and see what the times are for that. Up next is 434. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's everyone's good friend, Johnny Fairplay. How's everyone doing?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know.
Whoa, no. Wait. I heard you had a special guest. This guy used to do stuff. Who's your guest today, Jason?
It's the one and only Matt Kuhn.
Matt Kuhn, are you the one that used to work on the Pritchard Show and Schiavone Show? Is that you?
Yeah, things have gone terribly for me, Mr. Fairplay. They couldn't have gone worse for me. I've gone from the best podcasts in the world to working on two up and coming podcasts with an out of the box co-host.
I thought your name was Dave Silva. Am I mistaken? Is that so? Wait,
no,
tell
I'm
me,
the music
tell me
guy.
About these amazing new projects you have.
Well, I have Survivor NSFW with Johnny Fairplay. We recap that night's Survivor that night, and we get it out a lot of times before the West Coast feed is up. And of course, there's the Botch Along where Johnny and I watch something on the WWE Network, and we make fun of it, and we laugh, and we curse a lot. Johnny, how are you doing today? Did you watch Backlash last night?
No, I was saving it for the Botch Along.
You made the right call there. Hey, when are they going to get Impact Wrestling footage so we can look forward to Matt, not Johnny Fairplay Kuhn, discussing Johnny Fairplay's botch moments in Impact Wrestling history?
Oh, I can't wait.
There's
someday.
A global network. I did a little, I couldn't even sign up. So if that tells you how easy this thing is to jump on board.
I think
you're
just
banned. Shocked in any way? Hopefully. I don't want to be charged after the first month anyway.
Well, somebody told me that.
I don't know.
I'll have to double check here, but I know somebody that said they signed up within the first 30 days. And then the idea was that it was free during that phase, and then they just never were charged. I don't know. I don't want to say the person's name and out that person, but I will check with them because it was going on months later. They still hadn't been charged, and they're like, "Well, I'm not going to ruin a good thing."
Oh, I believe that as well.
So, Johnny, as a wrestling fan who watches pretty much Raw and SmackDown, you know, all the time. You watch pretty much every pay-per-view.
Sure.
What was the reason that you missed Backlash last night?
No, I watched around 9 p.m., the girlfriend, ding, ding, ding,
She asked if we could watch the remainder in bed, and I think 4 minutes later I was out. I woke up to see a spear from Roman Reigns and a 1-2-3, and I was like, wow, that I feel like I missed nothing. And and I listened to ProWrestling.net member exclusive audio when I woke up and learned I missed nothing.
No, Johnny, I think you must have had a dream, because it was Samoa Joe choking out Roman Reigns with the Gokina clutch, and so I don't know. You must have been dreaming when that happened.
Oh wow! Well, that sounds great. I mean, like, you know, because you know Roman Reigns has been on this, you know, career tailspin, you know, going into Mania and post Mania, and you have, you know, this you know hot, you know, heel on the SmackDown side. So obviously that was the finish, right?
Yeah. Well, except as Corey Graves pointed out, that he didn't. The referee could have called for the bell, but he didn't. So I'm guessing that's how they try to protect Samoa Joe. If you're ever going to fall asleep during a WWE pay-per-view, Johnny, I think you picked the best one. Anything else for us today, Mr. Fairplay?
No. I just head on over to, of course, after this, head over to iTunes, search out the Botch Along, subscribe, rate 5 stars, then head over to Survivor NSFW, click subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave an honest review. If you don't like it, don't do any of those things except press the subscribe button.
My favorite moment of the live show is when it's time to hit mute on Johnny Fairplay, Matt. I'm sure you go through a similar process at the end of your shows with him. How are you doing this? 2 shows a week.
I love
Johnny Fairplay.
You know, I tell you, I really like Johnny. I think he has such an interesting backstory in wrestling. He was, you know, basically Roddy Piper's body man for a long time. And then he has seen the absolute worst of the... Yeah, it's terrible, right? And then he's seen the absolute worst of the wrestling industry. Like, he's the guy who kind of didn't really belong, but made his way in through his reality show fame. But he's a wrestling fan. Like, he's an inside guy. He understands wrestling. And he was treated badly by so many people. Every story, and at the same time, he was self-destructive. So every story was like, I was drunk, and then such and such Hall of Famer punched me in the face. You know, or someone powerbombed me when they weren't supposed to. Or, you know, or the story with AJ Styles where, yeah, Brian, there you go. And I mean, Brian Cage is as big as a house. Or AJ Styles giving him the powerbomb when he wasn't expecting to take a bump for 6 months. Johnny's seen the underbelly. He gives a very interesting perspective to the wrestling industry, and not the most affectionate one either, even though he still loves it.
All right, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about Johnny Fairplay on this show. We need to leave it at that. We've more than filled our quota. I don't feel good about this. It only encourages him. But yeah, Johnny is certainly an interesting character. He's got a ton of stories. And even before he was working as Roddy's personal assistant, he was doing like indie wrestling promotion in the Pacific Northwest, and so he's been a long-time fan, and he still follows the business closely, and so it is always good to hear from him. Hey, if you guys want to join us on the show, I know some of you guys are in listen-only mode. We do have open phone lines, as anticipated, because of the Monday time slot, but it's 773-897-6321 is the number to call, and if you're already on hold going, hey, why aren't you coming to me, hit 1 on your phone. That lets us know that you want to join us on the show. But we have plenty to discuss. It's no problem if we don't even get another call from here. We've already surpassed the record with 2 calls when it comes to we can't set a new record for least amount. Will and I did a show one time. I don't even remember after which event, but it was just a flat show. It wasn't like this one where it was just like a bad show. And we ended up with 0 calls. It was astonishing. And then we'll have those other shows where it's probably going to be a light day, and we'll get a ton of calls. So, it's the Monday thing, and it's all good. Let's go to email questions here. We'll start with .NET member Mark Christie. He says, I'm sure you've been asked this question, but I want to get your thoughts. With so much hatred being directed at Roman Reigns these days, I heard some interesting comments from Chris Jericho. I'm guessing on his podcast, but I don't know where. He said that while some people legitimately don't like Reigns being pushed down their throats, there are a large group of people who boo him because it's the cool thing to do. They jumped on the bandwagon, and they're following the herd. So what do you make of Jericho's comments? I'll let you take that one to start with, Matt.
Well, I'm someone who's been lucky enough to be in person at a lot of these moments, a lot of the WrestleManias, the SummerSlams, and have seen this firsthand. I'm going to say it's about 90-10. You know, there's 90% of us, the ones who boo him, okay? 90% of us have been along for the ride. We were there for the Colt Cabana podcast where he said, where CM Punk said he was told to make Roman look good. We were there for the whole Daniel Bryan fiasco. We were there for being pushed to the top of the card when the Shield broke up and Ambrose and Rollins are going at each other, and for some reason Reigns is being pushed to the top. So it's not a boo against Roman. It's a boo against the organization and their positioning of this guy where we don't have any desire to see him. But I'd say it's about 10% of people do it because it's cool. But speaking for my son and I, who have booed along a lot of times, we just don't want to see him there, and we don't believe he belongs there, and we want to see other people in that position. And it's the same as if you're watching a movie or watching a TV show, you know, that you enjoy, you're going to complain about the parts you don't like, and that's the part that we don't like, and most people don't. As far as your experience, do you have the same experience, or do you feel it's now become, you know, kind of the cool thing to do to boo Roman?
There's probably some small element of that. I'm with you in it being a smaller percentage, and I don't know how different it is compared to those fans who, well, just, you know, since it was Chris Jericho saying it, Matt, I'm sure there's some fans out there that maybe they didn't initially get what people like so much about Chris Jericho if they were new to the party or something, and, oh, everyone seems to like him, I'm going to cheer along. So it works both ways, I think, doesn't it?
I definitely think so. I think there's another side of this where fans can't get what they want at all times. If I don't like Roman Reigns, I can boo him as much as I want, but I shouldn't have an expectation or build up a bitterness or build up a hatred over the fact that Vince McMahon believes in this guy. And I think that's the tipping point where you stop booing and you start throwing beach balls, or you stop booing and you start disrespecting someone like Samoa Joe, who's in there working his butt off. I think that's the tipping point. So I do think it can go both ways, but really, as fans, we owe it to ourselves to be good fans. So we can boo and we can cheer as much as we want, but we need to be respectful of the people who are in there, but maybe not respectful of the characters.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the, you know, the first time they started doing the beach ball thing, and it was just, it really did feel like that crowd was rebelling. That night after WrestleMania crowd that, he's on hiatus now, but .NET staffer Zach Zimmerman was in attendance at that show, and, you know, he really came away feeling like it was kind of a big rebellion and fans telling WWE, we don't like what you're giving us, that night after Mania crowd. And I think since then, yeah, there's some element of that when the beach balls come out. But I also feel, I don't know, that one kind of feels like it's become the thing to do. This year, WWE did a good job of pacifying that crowd. They did a really nice job with it, as a matter of fact. And I think you had beach balls come out once during the actual show. And then I think it was Seth Rollins or somebody led them in doing more after the show actually went off the air. But yeah, I'm not big on just the complete level of disrespect. But I also think fans have a voice, and they have every right to use that within reason. And what they've been doing with Roman Reigns, just rejecting him, this is a company that likes to boast that they listen to their audience. First and foremost, they listen to what the fans tell them to do. Well, the fans have been screaming, he's not our guy. He is not the top babyface in this company. But Vince won't budge. I mean, it's, you know, in the hit list today, I brought up the old, you know, the so-called definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and it's reached that point. I think it's been that way for a while. Matt, what is it going to take for Vince to go, you know, this isn't working, let's try a different approach, let's turn this guy heel and see what happens?
Well, the answer is pretty simple. I think he needs to fall in love with somebody else, you know, and I don't mean that in a romantic sense, but Vince is obviously in love and very attached to the notion that Roman's going to be his guy. So for him not to be the guy, there needs to be someone who, in his mind, takes his place. I can tell you right now, it's not Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins opened the show yesterday. As great as he is, as much momentum as he has, you're not going to see Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman kick off a pay-per-view. That's a decision that Vince makes. For it to happen, you know, he needs to find a replacement. He needs to see money in somebody else. It's never going to be fans aren't responding to him, because I think Vince takes that as a personal challenge, because I think as much as they say we listen to fans. I believe that Vince believes that he can manipulate the fans to cheer what he wants, and he knows best. And I don't see any reason that's going to change. We saw a glimpse of hope in that with the last two finishes, but him beating Samoa Joe the way he did seems like more of the same.
It's been, what, 5 years of this, that this has been going on? And he just, I mean, there are those moments. I think coming out of WrestleMania, I know some people were wondering if this is it. Is this a rejection of Reigns, not just from the fans, obviously, but has creative figured it out? I don't even like to say creative, because I'm sure there's people on that team going, yeah, we know. You know, this isn't, we're just doing what we're told, and Vince won't change his mind on this. But there was a lot of questions in terms of whether Vince had finally pulled the plug on this and was ready to move in a different direction. No. He is still obsessed with this. I mean, that's their big thing. Their big hook for Raw, if you go to the WWE website preview, is, has Roman Reigns done enough now to earn another match against Brock Lesnar? And, you know, the only glimmer of hope there is that he's told no. And it's, you know, the big scenario that I think a number of people have come up with, it's Seth Rollins. And Rollins actually wins. He beats Brock Lesnar. He wins the Universal Championship, and that pushes Roman Reigns over the edge and turns him heel. But Matt,
right,
it's just not going to happen. no matter what, there have been so many scenarios, including, hey, Braun Strowman, he's caught fire. You could do something big. You could have him be the guy to beat Brock Lesnar, or you could even have Roman be the guy to beat him, but he's a heel, and then you have Braun Strowman waiting in the wings to challenge him. Nothing. It doesn't matter what scenario pops up. Vince just sticks to his guns on this.
So this is the question, right? Like, if you talk to people in the business, people who know, people related to WWE, people who have investment in WWE, who maybe have friends in there or work for them, they get very defensive about the Roman Reigns situation. Jericho seems to be one of them. And they say, okay, you know, they won't say it on the record, but off the record, okay, if it's not Roman, who is it? Who's the guy? Who's going to replace Cena? And the truth is, there's no in-the-box answer. There's no long-term person that looks like he could be, as Dutch Mantel would call it, the company babyface, you know, the area babyface, the Kerry Von Erich of the area. There doesn't seem to be someone like that. So I think that is what they're looking for. I think someone needs to be positioned, and let's just take a guess. He needs to be tall and muscular and good-looking. I'm just spitballing, you know. And that's really – they need somebody to take that spot, or else Reigns will be there forever. That's the reason why Cena never turned heel, because there's nobody to take his place.
Well, they came close. I mean, they did come close to turning John Cena heel. He had gear ready and everything else, and they pulled the plug on it. So, I mean, it can happen. And I think with Cena, ultimately, it turned out, because believe me, I was among the people going, man, they need to turn this guy initially. And that's, I think, you know, Cena's kind of tried to compare him and Reigns, and people just aren't getting it. And it's like, no, you're, it's different. You know, yes, John Cena had his detractors, but when it was explained as he's the New York Yankees of WWE, some people love him, some people hate him. Hey, that was very true. You know, John Cena always did get that good, passionate, mixed reaction. You had, you would have had a lot more, you had a lot more adult males disliking Cena, but there were a lot of women and children and even adult males who were in his camp. With this, it's just an utter rejection of this. You know, the fans haven't reacted the way the WrestleMania crowd did to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in that match. I mean, they just were busy doing anything else during the main event of WrestleMania. There's a big difference here. And I'm sorry, the idea that they have to have this face of the company, I think it's dated. I think it's great when you have that guy, but when you don't, boy, you know, a heel Roman Reigns defending that championship against, and I'll just ignore the brand split, but AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, there's a lot of really good potential matchups for Roman Reigns as a heel. They look at him and go, well, we can have those same matches as a babyface too, but why? I just, it's not working, and if you really ever want to have any chance of getting Roman Reigns to succeed as your top babyface, I think so many of us just feel like this guy needs a heel run first. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson, if you're like, these wrestling media guys are all the same, he hinted at it. Dwayne Johnson said He needed that. He needed a heel run. I don't remember the exact wording, but he tweeted it out after Reigns, after he was in the ring being booed with Roman Reigns, the Rock of all people. I mean, this is, it's just, I've never seen this level of stubbornness from Vince McMahon about one particular thing, with the possible exception of if he actually goes forward with this XFL thing, which it seems like he's going to, even though a rival is beating him to the punch by a year and has all sorts of things set in place that Vince doesn't. But, okay, I'm gonna take the question that you asked and give it to you. If they really do feel like they have to have that face of the company baby face, and it's not Roman Reigns, who is it? Who would you go with?
Well, I'm with you. There's no easy solutions here. However, if you look, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'll start with your question. If you look through the history of wrestling, say pre-Hogan, big, huge draws, guys that drew a lot of money, it wasn't necessarily someone that you would pick out of a lineup to do so. Junkyard Dog, right? Dusty Rhodes, mm-hmm. People with charisma, people maybe that didn't have that look. Everything that Vince hates about wrestling, right, is charismatic. Right, exactly. I was going to say regional people with a regional tie, a Bruno Sammartino. These are not people that you would pick out of a lineup and say, this is the guy who's going to be the face. And I think there's a lot of potential. You know, Kevin Owens could be someone with that potential. Dean Ambrose is someone with that potential. I don't know about a Braun Strowman unless he's a monster heel. AJ Styles could have that potential. Nakamura could have that potential. But you would have to light a fire under that person. There's so many. It's not about who's a great wrestler or who can give great promos, because there's a lot of people like that now. It's about who they get behind. And to piggyback on what you said earlier, we've reached this point now, thanks a lot to Reigns, where we're okay with the fact that Cena never turned heel. He should have turned heel. History has shown that Cena was the biggest draw over the longest term, maybe in the history of wrestling. But by the metrics of how big a success he was, I don't think anybody can term him a huge success. A matter of fact, his success as the top babyface kind of flatlined the company for a long time. There was room to turn him heel and to elevate other people. They just didn't have the guts to do it. And I think we're seeing that with Reigns right now. We forget about that now because people hate Reigns so much, but it's something they should have done with Cena. The last point I'm going to make, sorry, is that it's 2018, and you can manipulate fans. The way you do it is you turn them heel and you let the fans turn them face. That's what happened with The Rock. You know, The Rock was, we're talking after The Nation, he got turned face by the crowd, and then he had a huge heel turn where he joined Vince. That was the moment where The Rock became a superstar. Slowly but surely, the fans turned him face. When you see these people from NXT come up, they go, okay, everybody, here's Bayley, cheer for her. Okay, everybody, here's American Alpha, cheer for them. No, that's not how they got over. You know, American Alpha got over as heels, and the fans turned them face. If they would have brought him in as heels, the fans would have turned them face. So the answer is, turn Roman heel, and the fans are going to turn him face by WrestleMania, and you're going to have exactly what you want. He'll be red hot. The women will still love him, which is who buy all his stuff. The kids will probably still love him, but he'll just turn on all the smart marks, and he'll draw a whole bunch of money. It's the best possible answer. Have him turn on somebody who just is internationally beloved. I don't know. I'm not sure if they have anybody like that anymore, you know, but have him turn on somebody, get that heat up, and let the fans turn him face, because his work rate and his character are good.
Well, and I'll add a couple more names to that mix just from WWE that, look, it was that the fans were ready to embrace Steve Austin as a babyface after the heel run. You know, they were turning him babyface, and I selfishly was like, man, I'd love to see more of Austin as a heel, but they did the double turn, and the rest is history. Triple H, when he came back from the quad injury, the fans were ready to embrace him, and they let them do that. And it's kind of the issue with what we saw with Seth Rollins. The fans were ready to embrace Seth when he returned from, I believe it was the knee surgery, and they didn't let them cheer him, and we saw just what a tailspin that put Seth into for a while. I think Seth is over enough right now that he could be that guy, that if Roman were to turn on him, if it were a well-done angle, I think it could work. My guy, if I'm looking at this roster going, hey, I'm going to groom somebody for this top spot. I'm going to take a chance on them. I still believe you have a great ensemble cast. You don't definitively need that true face of the company guy at all times. If it's not there, don't force it. If it's there, amazing, awesome. But the guy who would be lining up for that position is a guy that they brought back in a freaking heel tag team, Drew McIntyre. He's proven on the mic in Impact Wrestling just how good he can be as that John Cena type. You listen to him talk, and he walks that line so well of not of being bored. Just about the time you're thinking, oh boy, he's going to get too sappy with this, he doesn't. And I don't know that they realize that, or at least I don't know that Vince realizes that, or I don't think we'd see him with Dolph Ziggler right now. So that's a guy that I would certainly look at if I were them. I don't know that they have that in mind right now, but I just said that, I mean, he's what Vince looked for. Vince's character dubbed him the Chosen One at one point. You know, I mean, yes, he has the accent that Vince seems to have more hang-ups on than the fans do in 2018, but it's a guy that I would certainly roll the dice on. But we do have another caller. Let's go to 317. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. My name's Aaron, and I'm calling from Indiana. How you guys doing?
Hey, Aaron. Good to hear from you again. What's on your mind today?
You know, a couple. I know you guys done a lot of talking about Roman Reigns, and
imagine that.
Watch it. Yeah, I know, right? Shocking. And I'm watching the match last night, and they're telling the right story with what with in wrestling history. They're telling the right story to get somebody over as a babyface. Like, you have the heel jump them before the match. You have, you know, the good guy get his ass kicked for most of the match and then make the epic comeback. But the fans don't want it. And like you guys have said, you know, they're doing the right story. Like, that's the story that has worked over. If that's Johnny Gargano, or if that's Daniel Bryan, or Seth Rollins, or Finn Balor getting that kind of beating and then making the comeback, the crowd goes crazy. Insane. Yeah, this is the most stubborn I've ever seen Vince. Even more than when he didn't want Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania, and he finally gave in.
Yeah, I think it's... Go ahead.
I was just saying, it's sheer insanity.
Yeah, it really, I mean, that's how I look at it now, too, because, man, you touched on something that I've been saying, too. I think, especially some of the story, not all of it, leading into WrestleMania, and then a lot of the things they've done with Roman. Matt, I think there have been examples of good storytelling there. There's been some botches along the way, too, that I'm sure you and Johnny will get to at some point. But, I think they tell the right story at times. They just have the wrong protagonist, and it's that simple.
It's the wrong protagonist. It's also, the caller's totally right. Everything has been according to the formula. It's at a point where it's contrived. You know, like, we reached a point when Triple H was a face where it seemed like every week he'd be facing three guys or four guys or five guys or whatever. And so we've seen this formula before. The closest, it is about a protagonist, but let's not forget about this. It's also about the right antagonist. So, the closest I think Roman came was when he was facing the League of Nations. I think the League of Nations was a good group of wrestlers that were excellent antagonists that maybe could get you behind Roman a little bit. But he definitely is the wrong guy, and it doesn't matter if he's the right or wrong guy anymore because the fans do not want to cheer him. I've never seen a situation where someone's been positioned in such a high spot that the fans – totally refused to cheer. You can talk about maybe Dusty towards his waning years, but the fans still like Dusty. Like, the fans really hate where Roman is, and he's still positioned as the number one guy. And I'm not sure what the answer is, except what we all think is the obvious answer.
Do you have more for us, Aaron?
Yeah, a couple other things. I know, first off, I love Drew McIntyre, so I love that you brought him up as a potential face of the company kind of guy. Another guy that maybe has more of the look that Vince likes, not that Drew doesn't. Drew's a well-built guy, good-looking guy, but and he's kind of developed himself since he left the company and came back. That'd be Bobby Lashley. I like Lashley. His in-ring work has improved. They haven't let him talk on the mic, which I feel is odd because I think I've heard you comment on this a couple of times. His mic work has really improved since he left WWE and went to Impact and then came back. So maybe what your thoughts might be on Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, we did touch on him. I'm guessing you tuned in a little bit late. We did touch on him earlier. And really, for me, it's Lashley's a great piece to have, but he's a heel. And Lashley is a babyface. Seeing is believing. I've seen him in multiple companies, and in Impact, he really did come into his own as a heel. He delivered some really strong promos, but I just don't see it with him at the top level as a babyface. And I don't, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's early in his return to WWE, but I just don't feel like they have any major plans for him being that type of a face of the company type player. Nor should they as a babyface right now. I mean, if they stumble onto something, great. But, I mean, they should be making more of an honest effort to do something with him because this non-talking Lashley who just smiles a lot and does the vertical suplex is only going to go so far. And it's, quite frankly, not very far, as we've seen with that live crowd's very flat reaction to him last night. Anything else, Aaron?
Yeah, one last thing. Another character I think is kind of, and you may have already touched on this, I was a little late coming in, but that I think is in danger of, that I think has been miscast all along, but it worked because of who she is playing off of, and that's Nia Jax. I really feel like she could be a really good monster heel. And last night, that promo she gave, I think I saw you email this earlier, the promo she gave after the match about bullying seemed kind of disingenuous at times. And I even heard a little bit of booing in the crowd during that promo. And it felt really contrived. It felt like somebody handed her the lines, which they probably did. It didn't feel like it was coming from the heart. And, like, it's worked so far because Alexa is so good as a heel. And the Moment of Bliss stuff was fantastic leading in. I cracked up. I thought it was hilarious. But now you move on to other characters who are going to be more popular with the fans. I don't know how that's going to work with, I'm assuming they're going to keep Nia as babyface, but I would much rather like to see her as a heel kind of running through the division a little bit.
Yeah, Matt, I heard you groaning. Take it away.
So the thing with Nia, there's several things about Nia. You know, Nia's got some friends in the organization, right? So, you know, that's a big factor. If she would have won the Royal Rumble, there's a possibility The Rock might have made WrestleMania. That's something I've heard, you know. Wow. With her, she's terribly, terribly. Oh, you haven't heard that, Jason?
No, that's real. I mean, yeah. And so they had Asuka win just to feed her to Charlotte, who turns around and loses just, 2 days later. Anyway, unbelievable.
Well, they didn't have the finish figured out until the day of for Charlotte. But in any case, sorry, with the Nia thing, terribly miscast. What situation can you have someone that small who's a heel and someone that big as a face work? Here's the situation where she finally gets her hands on her. There's 3-on-1 attacks, 4-on-1 attacks. This match is about her finally getting her hands on her. But that's not what it is. They've normalized it where they've been in the ring a whole bunch together, and it doesn't work because the size differential is so big. The other thing is, Nia's been in a couple WrestleManias. She's been, you know, around the circuit a little bit. She's still very green and she's still very dangerous. And, you know, she's so much bigger and they have her doing these very high impact moves. She struggles sometimes. And, you know, a lot of times she's hurting girls out there. And, you know, we saw it last night with Alexa Bliss, who reports are she had a little bit of a shoulder issue. I believe from that just a tremendously velocitous Alabama slam that was given to her by Nia. I think they need to rethink the whole Nia thing. She definitely has a future. She definitely has got a lot of stuff going on, but not as a face. And that promo was terrible. As it went on, fans booed more and more. It was the epitome of the disconnect between who the person is and the character they're asked to play and their ability to pull it off. Very much like Roman Reigns. No coincidence. The Nia thing and Alexa have both been hurt by this matchup. Is that how you see it, Jason?
I do, absolutely. You know, if you're going to look, I've been the one calling for Nia to deliver a kind of a rallying cry promo. They did half of it going into Mania. But they, all the bullying stuff was about her. There was no moment of connection with the fans where she brings them in, and you know, you feel like you're, I don't know, for lack of a better way of putting it, you feel like you're in the ring with her. You know, she's fighting this battle for you as a fan, like I did when I was a kid, when Hulk Hogan would rally the troops back in the day, and the old AWA, and then certainly in the early days of his WWF run. They failed to do that before Mania, and I think last night was some attempt to do that, but it was just so forced and scripted. I mean, who in the hell thought it was a great idea to include the Be a Star line? How do you do that? So, yes, I think she... to answer your question specifically, Aaron, I think she is miscast. I think there's a lot of miscasting going on in WWE. Roman Reigns, Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Roode, the list goes on of people that I think would just be better off switching from either heel to babyface or babyface to heel. But Aaron, do you have more for us, or was that it for today?
I was just wondering why, if it's kind of unusual to see, usually we'll see one or two people miscast, but like you, there are a slew of people that you could point at right now. And do you think it's just the creative team disconnect or Vince's stubbornness? Like there are, I could list five or six different people like you've just gone through that are in opposite. Bobby Roode should be a heel. Mm-hmm. And I think Charlotte should be a heel. Like you
I
said,
agree.
Bobby Lashley. There is so much. It's like an alternate universe or something. This exact opposite of what should be happening. And I thought maybe the superstar shakeup would help with some of that, but it hasn't. And it's made it worse. And I would argue one of the most over guys in the company right now is a heel, and that's The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
Miz and Seth Rollins. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Aaron. You brought up a lot of interesting topics, and it's always good to hear from you. With Miz, I would leave it alone. I think Miz is just such a good heel. And I think some of it is I still have bad memories of his last babyface run where he did the same thing. You know, there was really no change, and it was just like, this isn't going well. You know, I would be willing to give him another shot at this somewhere down the road, but when you have that Miz and Daniel Bryan feud on the horizon, I don't mess with that right now. I leave the formula alone and keep Miz heel. But, you know, I guess, Matt, my best answer is it's a combo platter. You know, when it comes to why certain people are miscast, with Reigns, it's stubbornness. With Charlotte, they may just see things a little differently than we do. With people like Roode and Lashley and McIntyre, I think it goes back to the fact that they're not paying attention to what goes on in other promotions and how people are getting over in those other promotions. Do you disagree with that?
I don't disagree, and I think you can look a little bit deeper into the way the WWE hierarchy is structured a little bit as far as where are people not miscast. Well, they're not miscast in 205 Live, and they're not miscast in NXT, right? So
right.
Who's running the show on those shows, and who's running the shows on the shows where, I mean, you just went through like eight names. You said he's miscast, she's miscast, he's miscast, she's miscast. Caller's right. He's got a great point. And it goes to a lack of connection with the product, a lack of connection with your audience. And you saw the that film of the WWE in Saudi Arabia where they were eating dinner. Did you see that film?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ladies' night.
So you've got the guys around Vince's guys, and you've got the guys around Triple H's guys. And
it looks
I
like
think
the
it's
last
time. I wish it was, because I think it's time, as much as I think Triple H was a very benign top wrestler, a benign top babyface, not, you know, a B-plus player in a lot of ways. As a top executive, he seems to know what he's doing. He seems to have his pulse, his hand on the pulse of what the audience wants a lot more. So I would say it lies on Vince, and I think it's time for a change, because if Triple H was in charge, I'm pretty sure Reigns would not be a babyface.
No matter what he says publicly, I'm with you. I mean, I think there's a line that he has to walk. in his position, and, you know, if you're not going to rock the boat, there's certain, and to use their lingo, there's certain hills you're not going to die on, and that's one of them. You know, I don't know what he says behind closed doors when it comes to Reigns, if Vince is in the room, but I do wonder if it's different when they're not in the same room together. But he's got to play poker. I mean, that's part of what his responsibilities are in WWE when he goes out there publicly. I'm with you. I mean, I'd love to see what this company would be like if he would just give one of the shows completely to Triple H even, and just, you know, kind of lighten the load on himself. Maybe it would spark some creative juices with Vince, too, to make sure, like, because I would assume he'd give him SmackDown if he was going to give him anything, and just see what happens. You know, maybe it would get Vince fired up and wanting to compete a little bit, even if it's internal competition. But, it's Vince, and that just doesn't seem to be – he's toyed with internal competition in the past, and it's always ended up being, well, the buck still stopped with Vince. And so I just don't know that he has it in him, aside from letting Hunter do his thing with 205 Live and with NXT. We'll take one more call today. And Matt, I don't know, if we do have a couple of email questions, so if we run a little long, are you able to stick around past the top of the hour, or do you need to get out of here at the top of the hour?
No, I'm good to go, man. We can answer those questions.
Excellent. All right. 901, who is this? Where are you calling from?
David from Memphis. How you guys?
Hey, David. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. I heard Matt was on, and I'm a big fan of all his shows. Been a member of your site for a few years now, so thought I'd
caller of the day.
Try to call in.
Well, very good, man.
I know there's been a lot of talk about Reigns and whatnot today, but I did want to bring up because of, you know, everything that you guys have complained about, the main product, they've kind of been burned out. Turn to NXT and Ring of Honor, especially after Taven was on your show and Honor Club launched.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit. I think we might have a bit of a connection issue, but go ahead.
Okay. I'd never really seen Ring of Honor product before Honor Club launched. I know there's been a lot of heat towards the Bully Ray character, but I feel like he's been pretty good for me because, you know, I'm used to WWE and the heel authority figure. It's kind of been kind of a gateway into that show.
Yeah, cool. No, I think Bully's a good heel. He can play both characters well. So I'm not, if there's any heat, I think there's some internal, I've heard some rumblings from people in that company kind of grumbling that, oh, here we go again. Joe Koff once again involved in Bully Ray's angle, and some people kind of wondering if there's a little gamesmanship going on. But I don't think you're going to find too many people really complaining about Bully as a heel, aside from that whole, I mean, the storyline, I guess, is he was the on-air authority figure. He didn't want to be called that. It was their enforcer. And so that's been a little awkward. But I think just his heel work is always tremendous. I think, you know, and he's shown in Ring of Honor he can be just as good as a babyface.
All right, well, thank you, guys.
Hey, well, David, thanks for – oh, well, I just want to say thanks for calling. I know David is. He follows me on Twitter, and I'll make sure to give him a follow back and appreciate all his great input into the cast I do and all the stuff I do online. And he does raise an interesting point, I think, Jason. You know, we had a choice WrestleMania weekend. We go to WrestleMania every year. My son's 15, big, huge wrestling fan. You know, we had a choice, NXT or Ring of Honor, and he chose Ring of Honor. So I think while this, as a lot of people like to say, we are losing a wrestling audience, I think the Reigns thing is pushing people to different promotions. And I think maybe that will be a demarcation line where people will say, okay, now it's time. Now it's time to really pull the trigger on the Reigns thing.
Yeah, you know, and I had a hard time. I think you heard him better than I did. So, David, I'm happy Matt heard. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, David? I know you're still on the line.
No, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It was good to hear from you.
I've been kind of, you know, still following the main product, but definitely a lot more passion with NXT and Ring of Honor right now.
Okay, that's what you were saying. Yeah, you know, and I think,
yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way right now. You know, there's... Look, you're going to have WWE is what is consumed by the masses, without question. You know, that's the big dog, if you will, in the wrestling world. And but there's when it comes to fans who are passionate enough to follow NXT, Ring of Honor, and just know about life outside of WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling as well. you know, I think naturally you're going to see people kind of gravitating toward it when they're not happy with what they're getting from WWE. Or for that matter, you know, if you've got enough time in your day, Matt, then, you know, it's even if WWE is doing great business, you can still make time for those other promotions. There's a lot of good stuff out there for people right now.
Well, it's definitely a thing where you have to pick and choose. I know MLW just came out with a show, and
yeah,
I'm going to watch it, you know, and I watched the first I watched this week's episode, thought it was really great, but where does that time come from? You know, does it come out of, you know, my SmackDown watching, my Raw watching, or do I fast forward a bit more? Those are the things that wrestling fans need to think about, and the things that WWE needs to think about when they're booking people like Reigns at the top.
Impact Wrestling, another one. I didn't even mention them. You know, their viewership, it's gone down just a little bit lately, but it's still been up from what it was. So there's a lot of alternatives out there, absolutely. And so, yeah, I definitely encourage people, if you're not getting what you want from WWE, don't be afraid to seek out an alternative. I know many of you guys listening to a show like this certainly do, but it's certainly a good reminder because I'm sure we hear from some people who just watch WWE as well. On those email questions I mentioned, .NET member Assassin checked in. Best wishes to him. He's under the weather, or he would have called in. He says, did WWE just destroy all credibility for three top heels on a poor pay-per-view? He points to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens being made to look awful in their match, and he says the only purpose he can think of is that it will work up until Lashley turns on Strowman, and then he says the sacrifice of Samoa Joe to Roman Reigns for the redemption of Reigns just kills Joe. And he says he hopes it means Joe is going to get a run with the WWE title so he can become the first person to ever hold the TNA, ROH, and WWE championships. I guess we'll start with Owens and Zayn. How much damage was done last night in your mind, Matt?
I mean, it's a continuation. You know, when you watch Sami Zayn's someone we didn't mention earlier, but I get teased a lot about this by Conrad, the other guys, but I love Sami Zayn. I just think Sami Zayn He's right. Everyone teases me, but Sami's the man. Sami's could be a top guy. And, you know, when you saw him in there with Lashley, he's just as tall as Bobby Lashley. He's not this tiny guy. The way, you know, it looked like they're positioning a split last night, and which is just the worst idea ever since they need heels on the Raw side. They definitely were hurt. They were put in no way were they made to look anywhere close to being as effective as Lashley and / or Strowman. If they're going to beat the top heels on Raw, which they are, by the way, you need to position them better. And the person who wrote the email, I guess he's a longtime listener and a caller of your show. Yeah. I think he's spot on, 100%. Yes, Joe was damaged for no reason. Yes, Sami was damaged for no reason. Yes, Kevin was damaged for no reason. It looks like maybe Kevin's going to turn face, maybe. I don't know, or it's a big swerve, a Scott Steiner / Buff Bagwell-esque swerve. Who really knows? But I would have loved – last night was an opportunity for Sami and Kevin to raise their stock. Instead, it was more of the same. Is that how you saw it?
I did. You know, I guess the way the card played out, I guess I get what they're going for. You deliver that awful finish to Styles and Nakamura. You come back with ideally a crowd-pleasing moment, but the live crowd just wasn't very receptive to that match. We've certainly seen pretty much almost every crowd be more responsive to Braun Strowman than this crowd was following that. I blame a lot of it on the previous match, but some of it may also be, hey, people, you know, they get a kick out of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn too. So I'm not quite sure what exactly caused that crowd to be as flat as they were for that. I'm all for Kevin Owens having a babyface run. I mean, it's something that Will and I have been talking about for a long time, that he has those Daniel Bryan qualities. You know, it's a different type of quality that he possesses, though. Where Sami may have been a little too similar to Daniel Bryan to try to make it, you know, kind of push him as that strong underdog. Kevin Owens is different body type, but, you know, he has a reputation. You know, I think fans who have been following his career see him as a guy who loves the business. They see him as a family man. They see him as kind of an everyman, you know, unique body type for the wrestling business even today. And I think people can gravitate toward that. And he's a hell of a talker. He's a gifted talker. And so if that happens, cool. But I'm with you. They need heels. You know, you look at, man, I mean, they basically, the shakeup consisted of SmackDown being saved because they were able to move all the heels that they damaged over to the Raw brand. Jinder Mahal, Owens and Zayn to a point, even because, you know, they were, I found Owens to be a very credible challenger until they had that handicap match and they couldn't get the job done together. And I'm just like, why would we ever take them seriously challenging in a singles match again? Basically, you get Baron Corbin damaged, and there's just a long list of SmackDown heels who came over who were damaged. So I don't know what you do, but I also don't know that these guys are, you know, that they're going to position them as good strong heels as much more. I really see it as now they're probably, if they keep them heels, they'll be in the tag division, or if they split these guys up, they'll be in the Intercontinental division. I just don't think they're going to get full use out of these guys. I hope I'm wrong about that, man.
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to Sammy a little bit because, of course, he's my favorite wrestler. But let me just say, you want to talk about miscast. Like, the only reason this heel turn by Sammy has worked is because Sammy's awesome. If people love Sammy Zayn, if you listen to his music is just horns. That's all it is. If you hear voices singing along to the music, that's the crowd. So last night when Sammy came out, a large contingent of the crowd are singing to his music. I saw him against Nakamura. I've seen him many times live. People want to cheer for Sami Zayn. And Kevin Owens, people are ready for that turn, you know. But at the same time, like, if you go down the list, who are the heels on Raw? Okay, you've got Elias, right? You've got Sammy and Kevin, and then what do you have after that? Drew McIntyre and Ziggler? Like, that's the depth chart we're talking about. So there needs to be some kind of movement, something happening, something shaking up, or else you're going to have a lot of matches like we had last night, where we had, you know, two SmackDown faces and Orton and Hardy face off and the fans sitting on their hands.
Yeah, how much of this, when it comes to Roman and even Strowman, is when they move these guys over from SmackDown, is Vince going, well, okay, Jinder, they're not going to boo Roman against Jinder, for instance. I mean, I think some of it was obviously trying to find good heel opponents in his mind to work with Roman and Strowman. But I do wonder if there was some of that where, well, Corbin's not a guy who gets cheered. Here's a good chance that, you know, fans might cheer him or might cheer Reigns over Strowman. My argument is that, well, if it push comes to shove, they're just going to sit on their hands, as we've seen them do in the past when you had Reigns working with, at the time, guys who weren't really clicking and weren't all that over. Sheamus and Roman Reigns come to mind. Or, I'm sorry, Sheamus and, who was the other one? Sheamus and Rusev back in the day. I know it sounds crazy right now considering how over Rusev is, but there was a time when they were having those guys feud on Raw, just having regular matches with Roman against the two of them, and the crowd just sat there. It wasn't like, they're facing guys Roman's facing guys we don't like. We're going to cheer Roman now. They just sat on their hands.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue. You know, I'm not sure exactly what the answer is at this point, but I do know that a good start would be to start casting people the way that the crowd wants to see them. You know, it's weird to say everything would be solved if Roman Reigns was a heel, but so much would be solved with a strong Roman Reigns heel character. But to your point, I'm not sure. I believe all the conspiratorialists, I don't know what you call it, but the people who believe these people were put over just to get Roman Reigns cheered. I don't know if we've reached that point where Vince truly believes that Roman is hated as much as he is, but maybe, I guess it's possible, but you know, Jinder, Baron Corbin, that goes to that point, but I don't see them being fed to Roman right now.
You know, I guess I didn't address the second part of his question. When it comes to Joe, I think in the moment he's damaged, but he touched on something. What if he does go and take that WWE championship soon? Or I guess one thing I want to wait and see on SmackDown, you did have that moment during the match that Graves pointed out. The referee could have called for the bell. You know, Roman Reigns looked like he was out cold, and you could make a case that the referee could have called for the bell right there. So do they play that up? Do they try to soften that blow? Just what do they do? I mean, Joe, in the moment, it wasn't a great moment for Samoa Joe or anything, but he's just so good. He's one great beatdown angle away or a really strong promo away from just getting his heat back. We've seen Joe lose how many times over the years, both in WWE and certainly in Impact Wrestling, and it took a long time for Impact Wrestling to screw him up. You know, and I just think he's so good that he's going to be fine coming out of this, even though, like I say, in the moment, yeah, it looks like they sacrificed Joe to boost Roman.
Yeah, he's, as you said, he's one strong promo, one strong beatdown away, and he can do that at will. So I'm not worried about the long-term effects of this one match on Samoa Joe. I'm worried if this is a trend, if this is how they see him. Because if that's how they see him, all the great promos and beatdowns in the world aren't going to help him.
True. And then his second question, would it have been better for Shinsuke Nakamura, or would it have been better if Shinsuke Nakamura had worn a cup in his match with AJ Styles at Backlash? It's kind of a heel thing to do. It was seriously bad, and someone needs to step in and be the logical person in the room and see the damage they are doing. At this point, neither man deserves a belt. So basically, I think what he's saying is, you know, yeah, AJ returns the favor for the low blow. I think we've all joked about, why doesn't AJ just wear a cup? But in this case, that would have been kind of a fun little wrinkle, is that, well, Nakamura was prepared and he wore the cup. But I guess my fear there is that, well, AJ would have looked even dumber for not wearing a cup, Matt.
I think, you know, that goes to the old Bret Hart Goldberg chest plate situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But let's not make it more stupid. You know, let's see if we can make
right.
it less stupid. You know, like there's a lot of opportunity to make this more stupid if we want to. But I think the time has come to make this more serious. Let's get away from the cartoonish nutshots. They were headed towards a really good match. And hopefully that's what people will remember. It appears that's not the case. But, you know, there's still time to salvage this feud. But let's you know, get whoever the Road Dogs and the Triple H's and the Vince's in the room and figure out how to make this a money-drawing feud, because nutshots is not the answer.
No. And then I guess one other thing to kind of wrap things up today we haven't really discussed yet is Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. I looked at Sunday night as kind of a in-ring test, if you will, for Carmella and for Big Cass, just because you know, I think Carmella's been a good personality since they put the title on her, and they've really been making an effort there. And I really do think they view her as another Alexa Bliss on the SmackDown side, in terms of, hey, we, you know, look at what we did with Alexa. She may not have been the best in the ring, but she had that strong personality, and that was enough to get her by, and we turned her into a star. We can do the same thing with Carmella. And then with Big Cass, it's like they've given him some mic work. They're putting him in there with Daniel Bryan right now. I didn't come away feeling like either one of them passed that proverbial test. Did you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We can talk about case by case. So Carmella, the finish of that match was inexplicable. I'm not sure why you build up Asuka for a year, right? Charlotte beats her in this crowning moment, okay? Fine, okay? And I love Charlotte. I think she's great. I think she's the future of the women's division in a lot of ways. And then the screw job to lose the title to Carmella, okay, fine. I can deal with that. But the finish of the match was her getting kicked in the knee and rolled up. And I don't think I've ever seen somebody lose in that fashion, especially someone who's positioned so strong. Carmella did okay. You know, if you see Carmella in person, she is just knockout gorgeous. She is beautiful among a room full of beautiful people. So I can see what they see in her. But in the ring, not only did she not pass the test, but I think the whole women's division and that whole thing they built up with Asuka to Charlotte to Carmella really had the legs swept out from under it, so to speak.
And how about Big Cass?
Okay, so with Big Cass, you know, once again, I'm not a conspiratist, but it seems that everything they do is built towards muting the cheers toward Daniel Bryan. And if you look at the way the match was booked at WrestleMania and also the way the match was booked last night, it seems it doesn't seem like people really care about Daniel Bryan. And who would have thought the cheers for Daniel Bryan would be so, you know, contained so close to his comeback? And I think that has a lot to do with Cass should have a second. He should have, if he's with Miz, put Miz with him, because Cass is a big guy. You know, if you see him in person, he's gigantic. He's huge. And he looks good. He's got a good presence. He's not bad on the mic. He's still new to the industry, so to speak. In that match though, it was terrible. And it's the first bad match of Daniel Bryan's career. And it's because Big Cass was in it. Now, the reasons for that may not be Big Cass's fault, but try to think of a worse Daniel Bryan match. I dare you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that was the other thing I wanted to touch on here with Daniel Bryan is just, what are we, five televised matches in, roughly? And you had the couple on TV, I think, and then you had the Mania, you had the Greatest Royal Rumble. And a minute or two into this match, the crowd's chanting for Enzo Amore. And look, I know it's Jersey and all that, but it's still, when you think of the day that Daniel Bryan was cleared, and it was just rejoicing from fans. I've never seen anything like it. Twitter, email, just people so happy for this guy and so excited even for themselves to be able to see this guy in the ring again. And here we are this short time later, and it's just kind of like, that's it. There's really, they've managed to kind of already take away some of the joy of seeing Daniel Bryan back in the ring. It just, it isn't mattering right now. And I think you're right. Some of it has to do with who they're putting him in there with. And I don't think all hope is lost or anything. They still have a fun feud with Miz to come, and then eventually Nakamura, Joe, AJ. You know, there's plenty they can do with Daniel Bryan, but I am just at a loss for how quickly they've managed to just take the air out of the balloon, and people are just kind of, oh yeah, it's Daniel Bryan. He's working this middle of the show match, and it feels like the thrill is already gone.
And if you look at it, there's some pretty tangible and measurable reasons why. Daniel Bryan is an incredible promo. People love to hear him talk, right? So when he announced the WrestleMania match, it was done in such an awkward way that it stifled the cheers that he was coming back. If he was positioned like Reigns, it would have been different. I'd say three times the last month he was scheduled to be on SmackDown, either to talk, you know, or promo, and he was not. Actually, last night, talking smack, he was scheduled. He couldn't be on because of the beatdown by Cass. He couldn't be on that week before because of the chops to his chest. And then I believe it was the previous week or the week before that he was supposed to be on, and he just wasn't. And Miz had him scheduled on for Miz TV, and he didn't show. So Daniel Bryan's not being positioned. Right. So he's not being positioned in a way where he can do his promos and get the crowd behind him. We're just seeing Daniel Bryan show up and wrestle, and that's not enough for anybody.
And look, if this was a one-off, it'd be like, all right, at least it's over with. Bryan won, we can move on. But I don't think they're done with it. You know, I think that post-match attack happened for a reason. And look, you can drag it out. I get, all right, we don't want to just dive right in with The Miz and Daniel Bryan. I understand that if they feel like, this is something we can drag out until SummerSlam and do it right. If that's what they have in mind, cool. But you got to have something better than this. And I know we're only one match in. Maybe it'll heat up, but I just don't know that Cass is the right opponent for him. And this whole size thing again that they're playing up, people don't care. And I hope he can somehow manage to make Big Cass a star. But yeah, I didn't feel like Cass passed that test either. I mean, it was just kind of an underwhelming match. And you're right. You know, it's hard to think of too many underwhelming Daniel Bryan WWE matches, but that one does come to mind. I hope they get it right with him. I hope this will, we don't even know if he's going to re-sign with this company, and unless he quietly has. His deal is still up in September, last check, correct?
Yeah, that's what's going on. And if you were Daniel Bryan, knowing what you know about Daniel Bryan and what motivates Daniel Bryan, would you re-sign with the company?
Well, the X factor there is you know, his family's relationship. You know, he is, obviously Brie Bella is tied in with WWE as well. And so you have that. You also know that if you're with WWE, because I know where you're going with this, and look, there's a lot of fun matches out there on the independent scene for him. He can dictate his own schedule and all of that. But from a medical standpoint, you know, are those independent promotions that he would work for, or even some of the Ring of Honors of the world, are they going to be able to do all of the testing and things that WWE are doing for him? And some will say, well, they're going overboard as it is. I'd rather have them go overboard than do nothing. So I guess, you know, you have to kind of bring that into the equation too.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we could do a whole show on this, but there's a culture of fear among everybody who works in WWE, and people that used to work in WWE, or people with Legends contracts, or people who are on Divas, and they don't want to make them mad. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to screw up their payday. And I think, though, from what I've seen about Daniel Bryan, I think he falls outside of that mafioso-like silence that everybody seems to have. And I think if I'm going to make a call, I think he's going to leave. And I'm not saying because I'm looking at all these dream matches. I'm just looking at everything, and everything I've seen, everything I've heard about this guy tells me that he's going to do what he feels in his heart. And I think right now he is just writing out this contract. Just a
interesting
hunch.
Well, you heard it here first if it happens, folks. That's an interesting prediction, and I guess we'll find out. But I want to thank you very much for joining me, Matt. And again, you can follow Matt online at Matt Kuhn with a K, music, at Matt Kuhn, easy for me to say, at Matt Kuhn Music. I should really just let you say this. Why don't you take it away with any additional podcast type you might have?
Hey, so make sure to check out Why It Ended. Why It Ended is the podcast where we look at people that were in your heart and on your TV sets and you wondered what happened. We've had incredible interviews with Glacier and with Buff Bagwell. You'll never forget that one. Of course, just incredible. And the one people talk about, Muhammad Hassan. And this week we have Matt Morgan coming up. Also, check out Johnny Fairplay and I on the Botch Along. It's a great new show. It's getting a lot of attention. You can search it on iTunes. And we just this week we're watching a couple matches from World Championship Wrestling, including the New Breed. And you can reach out to me at Matt Kuhn Music.
Well, very good, man. Thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. And everyone, check out Matt's fine work. And he, of course, you are probably familiar with him from the Something to Wrestle With podcast, and the list goes on. That guy is everywhere, and it's been a real pleasure to get to know Matt a little bit here. He was on the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with me at the top of the show, and now again today. Don't forget, Will Pruitt will be returning here once he gets back from China. I don't know his status for the next show, but again, I don't even know the status of the next show, just as far as ProWrestling.net Live is concerned, just because of that UK Classic. So I will look that info up. We'll have plenty of details available before we reach that point. But we are live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. Hey, if you enjoy this kind of talk, know that .NET members hear it all the time. I mentioned earlier, Jake Barnett and I got together for 60-plus minutes last night to review the WWE Backlash event. We do that for all of the WWE pay-per-view events the night that they air, and we also have audio reviews. My review tonight of Raw will go up exclusively for the members. Same thing with SmackDown on Tuesdays. John Moore handles the NXT audio reviews. We have Ring of Honor television reviews by Hayden Gleed. I jump in once in a while with those as well. I usually do the Impact Wrestling audio reviews. John Moore helps me out from time to time. When Lucha Underground's in season, John is reviewing those shows in audio form. Just a long list of audio content that we have on a weekly basis. The .NET Weekly Audio Show, where Jake Barnett and I get together and discuss all the news of the week. We'll preview and provide predictions for big pay-per-view events. We've been doing more coverage of New Japan Pro Wrestling than ever before, and that is going to continue. As a big thanks to, I believe it's Anish, I still don't know how to say his name, who's been helping out with those and doing a great job of recapping those New Japan Pro Wrestling events. And I will get back into the swing of things once the English commentary starts to fire up for those shows again. So it's not just WWE. We've got a long list of promotions that we keep close tabs on. The members on Mondays, when they're not hearing this show, they are hearing my Q&A audio show, where they submit the questions and I give them their answers, both pro wrestling and non-wrestling. We have a lot of non-wrestling silliness fun on the second half of that show. That is usually available on Mondays, again, on the weeks that we're not doing the live show. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version, can't stress that enough, the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, all you have to do is visit pwmembership.net. And again, the ads go away, and for that matter, the same thing happens if you are someone who uses our mobile site. So if you're like, is that just for the website? Nope, it's for the website and the mobile site. The ads disappear once you sign up for .NET membership via pwmembership.net. And again, check out the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with Jason Powell. You can find it pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. Just do a search for Pro Wrestling Boom with Jason Powell, probably the easiest way to bring that up. And you will get my weekly audio show where I open things up by sometimes having a guest like Matt on to talk a little wrestling. Sometimes I just talk about it myself. And then we get to an interview, and we've had some good ones. Again, Sean Daivari is the most recent guest. Jim Ross scheduled for this week, if we can work things out with JR's schedule, because I know he's flying to Los Angeles, I assume, for another round of New Japan Pro Wrestling commentary for Access TV. And for information on the Boom, simply visit pwboom.com. God, that's still so weird to say, pwboom.com. If you have any questions for me, find me on Twitter, at Pro Wrestling Net. Just leave the dot out, at Pro Wrestling Net. And we will talk to you guys again. Well, members, I'll talk to you guys later tonight with the audio review of WWE Raw. But otherwise, check out The Boom. I will talk to you guys on Wednesday with that show. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, all the callers. It was, I know this time slot is a little bit tricky for some of you guys with work, but it's great that you guys took the time to call in. Well, unless your name's Johnny, fair play. And thank you to the emailers who were unable to join us live on the show but still took a moment to send in some email questions. We will do it again soon. Until then, everybody, take care.